You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, RPA is proud to present Aaron's Horror Show with Aaron Frail.
Hi, I'm Phil Hughes.
And I'm Jen Doherty. We're the creators of The Workshop Presents.
And you're listening to Aaron's Horror Show with Aaron Frail.
Welcome to Aaron's Horror Show. I'm your host, Aaron Frail. On Aaron's Horror Show, we're going to go ahead and read some horror fiction and talk about horror in all its forms, books, movies, you name it. If you want to go ahead and get a hold of the show, you can go ahead and contact Aaron's Horror Show at Gmail, or Aaron Horror Show on Twitter, or Aaron's Horror Show on Facebook. Thank you for listening and enjoy. Hi, welcome to Aaron's Horror Show, and I'm your host, Aaron Frail. This week, I got something that I'm watching, so you should probably watch too. Oh, you thought I was watching it so you don't have to? No, I'm actually watching it, and I'm going to recommend that you should too. And I'm going to go ahead and recommend that you should watch Fear the Walking Dead. That's right, the spin-off of The Walking Dead. This is not just The Walking Dead, this is Fear the Walking Dead. I know it's kind of a silly title, like they had to get the Walking Dead in there, so they're just like, Fear the Walking Dead? Yeah, okay, we'll go run with that. But it's actually really good. I mean, the big difference between Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead is, you know, The Walking Dead kind of goes into these, like, these are what humans are doing in the post-apocalypse. We got Negan, he's a jerk, and, you know, it's less about zombies and more about, you know, people being mean to other people, and that's kind of The Walking Dead. Whereas Fear the Walking Dead, it's really about zombies. I mean, it's a little bit more than just zombies, but it's about how people survive the apocalypse, and it goes through a bunch of different iterations of how people, like, look for ways to survive the apocalypse, and that's kind of cool. Like that's really what I like about it, is it's more what The Walking Dead could have been, I think is the best way to say it. Like what I really like about it is every season kind of takes a new way that one might survive the apocalypse, and kind of looks at the different ways that, oh, that might be a good idea, that might be a bad idea. Like, you know, in one season they have this dam, and, you know, whoever controls the water controls everything. Oh, by the way, this is, so The Walking Dead is kind of set in Georgia, and then they eventually end up in Virginia, and it's kind of in the east, and you know, the Fear of the Walking Dead is in the Southwest. So, you know, maybe I'm a little biased because I'm from the Southwest. But yeah, there's some of the season that is in Mexico. And then there's another part that's kind of on the border. And then another season where they're in Texas. But, you know, it's Zombie Apocalypse Southwest Edition. But what I really like about Fear of the Walking Dead is they kind of go over the different ways, if you're hearing, by the way, if you're hearing some weird hissing in the background, my cats are kind of fighting. My cats are litter mates, they're sisters, and they really love each other, but we just moved this week, and so they're having a little bit trouble, you know, adjusting, and that's usually when they fight, is in the move. So, you know, yeah, if you hear, it's not zombies, it's actually kitties. Anyways, back to the apocalypse. So anyways, what I was going to go ahead and t- tell you before I got sidetracked by my kitties is that Fear the Walking Dead kind of covers different scenarios of the apocalypse. So, you know, back, you know, the one that I was talking about is that there's one season where they encounter a dam and they kind of go over the virtues of, you know, in the apocalypse, you own a dam, right? So you kind of control the water. Like anyone downstream from you, you kind of decide whether or not they get water, or you can trade in water as a commodity, you know, especially if you're thinking the Southwest, right? Like there's a big giant whole heck of a lot of desert down there, and there, you know, so my brother used to live in Houston, Texas, and I lived in Albuquerque, and so when I would visit, I would drive through pretty much the entire desert of that area, you know, like you drive from Albuquerque, you go south, and then you get to not really El Paso, I would go through Carlsbad, but you know, blah blah blah, whatever, you really need to know the region. So, you know, I'd get on the highways there, and it's like desert until you get to like San Antonio, right? So like you're in the desert for pretty much most of your drive. So it's pretty desolate in that area. And so water, yeah, huge commodity, right? You know, you own the water, you pretty much own the people. So they kind of cover that. They kind of cover this idea where they all decide to like live in a stadium, and you know, the stadium can keep out the undead, and, you know, in the middle where there was a baseball field or whatever was there, they can grow crops, you know, so they think of that idea. There's one season where they're in a hotel, they decide, you know, maybe we'll hang out in this hotel, and they kind of, I don't know, it's interesting that it's more about the survival of the zombies, than it is necessarily about, you know, humans being awful to other humans, you know. So, you know, The Walking Dead, it's more about, you know, or at least it became about, you know, humans are pretty terrible to other humans. Whereas, you know, in Fear the Walking Dead, they kind of, like the most current season, they're dealing with a hurricane. So, like, a hurricane came through and, you know, made Sharknado zombies, Zombie-nado, I guess, you know, zombies in a tornado flying through the air. They did that. But you know, there is this kind of crazy character that's kind of mean to everyone in that season, but you know, they even kind of humanize that person, and it's really not about that. It's about how they deal with this big natural disaster and move on. So, you know, I like it. I really think you should take a look at it, because it's more about the zombie apocalypse than, you know, the Fear of the Walking Dead is more about the you know, what people do afterwards. Fear the Walking Dead is like, here's what the world looks like afterwards, whereas here's all these weird screwed up societies that we build, whereas Fear the Walking Dead is more about like, let's survive, let's live the next day, man. And they also, like, Fear the Walking Dead, like, kills characters like you would not believe. Like The Walking Dead, you think they kill characters? Fear the Walking Dead has them trumped. Like, you know, so from what I hear, spoiler alert, Rick Grimes, the lead character in The Walking Dead, is not going to be with us after this next season. So it's his last season, and maybe the last season. Like, I don't know. But Fear the Walking Dead, you know, spoiler alert, it's not clear what happens to her. She could still be alive, but the character who you think is like the Rick Grimes equivalent, the main character, will never die. She bites it, and in this current season that I'm on, like all the other ancillary characters. In fact, the original family that this story is about, there's really only one person in that family left right now. And that's crazy to me that you can start this series that seems to be about this, you know, one family and their journey through the apocalypse and totally like kill off every character except for one member of that family. So there's really only one member of the original family, and it's not the person you expect. That's the cool thing. So yeah, you know, I check it out. I dig it. I'm having fun with Fear of the Walking Dead. I kind of like it. I'm going to say this too. A lot of people will disagree, but I like Better Call Saul over Breaking Bad. Yeah, I said it right there. Yeah, Better Call Saul. If you're going to watch, you know, Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul, watch Better Call Saul. You've got to see Breaking Bad to kind of understand Better Call Saul. But Better Call Saul, I don't know. I like Saul. Walter White, never really liked him. I felt for him. I totally understood why he did what he did, but I never really liked the guy. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh man, you're an a-hole, you know? Whereas Saul, he's a cool guy. You like him. You kind of like him throughout, and you still like him. Even when he makes the wrong choices, you're like, yeah, man, I get it, man. So, you know, that's the difference between Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is kind of like Walter White, yeah, he's an a-hole, and I totally understand that he's an a-hole, whereas, like, you know, Better Call Saul, hey, I like Saul. He makes bad choices, but man, we like him anyways. So, yeah, I guess that's the difference. Reveals a lot about me as far as what I like watching. But, yeah, I hope you enjoy these recommendations. And guess what? I got two chapters of Tuners for you. All right. Two chapters coming up next. Chapter 21. John didn't see what was so dangerous about Universe 89. From what little he had seen of other universes, it was just like any of the others. They were in a typical Midwestern city. The stores and fashion trends were a little different from John's, but it looked like any other shopping center. He felt like they could blend in as a normal group of teens on an average day at the mall. "Keep on high alert," Patel said. John rolled his eyes. After being in the cultist homeworld, there really wasn't any other reason for him to be afraid of this universe. At least the people of this world didn't want to kill him like the cultists did. "So, what are we looking for here?" John said to DeAndre in a low whisper. "The tech in this universe is advanced. They're sure to have exoskeletal suit that could help us move in heavy gravity. And just talk normal. The best way to look suspicious is act like it," DeAndre said. "Couldn't you get whatever exo-whatever suit from any other advanced universe?" "My universe was already developing suits to help paralyze people walk, make super soldiers, and so forth." "Yeah, but they're all built and tested for your universe's conditions. A super suit in your universe might crumble in high gravity. Here in 89, they test for tech like in any other universe." "So wait, you're telling me that they know about other universes here?" John got a little loud, and Patel glanced at him. John lowered his head.
"You think Hector would risk sending every tutor on a mission if all of them dying would result in everyone being stranded at HQ?" Meat Hook said.
"Yeah," DeAndre said. "The tune-in tech had to be invented somewhere. HQ isn't just floating around in the void waiting to be discovered. It was built by the people here," John said.
"Oh, no, no. Universe 1 invented the tech and built Tuner's HQ. Universe 89 is just a feeder universe. There are universities that have academies to look for that one in a billion that can tune. They send their best and their brightest. Hector sends most of them back, but every so often one person makes the cut. Ludi's universe trained him to be a tuner the moment he was discovered that he had the ability."
It was an honor when he was chosen to join the team. So if Universe 89 is supplying candidates, then why High Alert? Shouldn't they celebrate our arrival or something?
Who knows, Mihook said. Just because we're tutors doesn't mean they tell us everything, bro.
Let's just say they lost sight of the original mission, a voice yelled into John's ear. It was Hector's. I should bring in some noobs and have them drag you all back in and replace the lot of you. However, since you're already risking your lives for Abby, I might as well do my best to make sure you idiots don't die.
It's good to hear you, Hector, DeAndre said. You want to give us some intel on this universe?
First things first, you have to be cautious of...
Hector's voice cut out. The tuners all looked at their TF3s and fidgeted with their headphones. Patel swiped through and looked at several apps. She frowned and said,
The signal's being jammed. I can't hear anything except the sound of other universes.
John glanced at his screen. He pulled up the tuning app and queued a playlist. He flipped between the universes and there was nothing. The only thing that John could hear was the low static in the background. The hum in the background of the other universes was gone. As if aligned with their device malfunction, a loud buzzer sounded through the mall. People ran screaming towards the exit. Large blast doors descended from the ceiling, sealing off large sections of the main concourse.
Run, Patel said, and they all ran for a blast door.
A female voice blared over a loudspeaker.
Foreign object found. Full quarantine in effect. Foreign object found. Full quarantine in effect.
Patel, John, and DeAndre were the first ones safely on the other side of the doorway. Meathook lagged behind. He stumbled on the ground and fell flat on his face. John tried to run and DeAndre held him back.
You'll never make it, but I can.
DeAndre took off in a blur of motion. He slid to a halt and lifted Mihook to his feet. They hobbled towards the closing barrier. DeAndre's speed was reduced while carrying Mihook. The giant metal wall lowered and closed, and his companions' faces disappeared behind the door. Patel dragged John away.
There's no time! Hurry!
Chapter 22 John and Patel barely cleared the exit of the mall before another set of blast doors sealed it off from the rest of the world. The world outside was vastly different than the world that John knew. There were banners throughout the mall parking lot displaying 3D moving images of a great world government. However, it looked more like a dictatorship, because there were parades of military might and people showered in the leader's affection. The technology was also much more advanced. The mall was surrounded by skyscrapers and lanes of flying cars, and they were all crisscrossing the skyline. The parking lot was less a parking lot and more a landing pad. People were running for their cars when the police vehicles landed. Patel and John were making their way through the chaos in the parking lot when they saw a police cruiser stun a panicked crowd with a wide area weapon. The people toppled to the ground, shaking and shuddering.
Go back to the mall. If you comply, you will not be harmed. Go back to the mall.
The police hover cars shouted over the loudspeakers. Patel grabbed John and headed towards the sidewalk area where people were beginning to line up. When no one was looking, she jumped into a hedge of bushes. John squeezed in beside her. The police landed and forced stragglers to step in line. One man refused to get out of his car. The police blew off the door. The man was dragged away. He was thrown into a prisoner transport along with the others, who gave too much resistance. Patel and John unzipped their invisible backpacks. They dug in for the invisible cloak. Parts of their body disappeared as they suited up.
What's happening? John said in a whisper to Patel as they got dressed.
I don't know. The files on 89 have been redacted. We just know that there's some experimental tech that came from this universe.
Like what kind of tech?
Human enhancement, gear for clandestine operation, and some war equipment.
Great, you're saying we came here to steal a power suit from a spy universe?
Put that on before the police find us.
John put on his hood and disappeared. An officer blared over the loudspeaker.
Please assemble for processing. Citizens will not be harmed. Please assemble for processing. citizens will not be harmed. John peeked from the bushes. The police resembled more a paramilitary than officers of the law. They were wearing black body armor and had black helmets. They lined people against the wall and locked the building down. They scanned the wrists and looked through their possessions of the people that they had captured. The people shuddered in terror when they knew that they were next. John saw a man with a hat from the soda machine that he gave the quarter to get dragged from the parking lot and dumped in front of an officer.
"Hey!"
the man cried.
"I didn't do anything, man."
The paramilitary officer yanked the man's hand out and scanned his wrist. They frisked him and emptied his pockets. One of the soldiers picked up a quarter from the man's possessions. It wasn't just any quarter. It was the quarter that John had given him. The soldier who had found the object signaled the commanding officer. The officer dropped a lady that he was manhandling on the ground, and she wept. He walked over to the man who was being held on his knees in front of the troops. The other soldiers quit roughing up the crowd to watch.
"I didn't do anything, man,"
the guy said in tears. The officer looked in the quarter and said, "If you didn't do anything, then why do you have a quarter with George Hamilton on the face?"
"George who?"
the man said. The officer pulled out his gun and put it on the man's head.
"Don't play games with me." "I swear, I've never heard that name in my life. Some kid gave me a quarter, I swear."
"I believe you," the officer said, "but that still doesn't change the fact that you decided to keep the quarter."
I was going to give it, to the station. I was going to drive it down to the station."
"Why didn't you show it to mall security?" the guard asked.
"Why didn't you call us and let us know you were coming? Why didn't you make it all the way to your car and not tell anyone? Let me tell you an alternate theory. You knew that alternate universe artifacts sell on the black market. You knew that a George Hamilton would make you a little something on the side."
"I have four kids, man. The government vouchers don't pay for it."
The officer pulled the trigger. The side of the guy's head blew off in a bloody mess. It sprayed over a woman in a sundress who whimpered in fear. The man fell to the ground. The officer turned towards him. "Have the conviction noted in his record and revoke his family's vouchers. The rest of you find those tuners. They can't be far."
"Yes, sir."
The paramilitary police jumped into action. John scrambled back to his spot. His head swam and he felt dizzy. He felt Patel's hand on his back.
"If you need to puke now, do it. Once we are in the open, you will not get another chance."
All right, that was some tuners for you. If this is your first time on RPA Network, guess what? We got tons of podcasts for you. We have some real ghost stories on Mondays with Aaron Hunter. And then we have me, of course, on Tuesdays. And then on Wednesdays, we got Terry, who talks about all sorts of cool things. Cryptids, ghosts, you name it. And then we also have Patrick Sean Jones, and he comes out every so often. You'll hear him in the feed, usually Thursdays. And guess what? I was on his show. Yeah, me. Yeah, you could hear my stuff. It's the Sandman's Lullaby, and it's about dreams and whatnot. So yeah, come listen to me, and yeah, check out the show. All right, well, have a good night, and also remember that in the zombie apocalypse, all you need is a baseball bat.